Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haidar. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Shahryar Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Shaykh Muzaffar Haidar.
It's a pleasure to have you as always. Today we're talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, as it's Ramadan and the Shahada of Imam Ali alayhi salam is coming up. So I believe you have three points that you wanted to raise, and I'm really interested to see what you have to say.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. First and foremost, our condolences to all of the believers across the world, of course, on the Shahada, the martyrdom anniversary of the commander of the faithful, Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And condolences to you as well. One of the interesting things is that when we commemorate the martyrdom anniversaries of the Imams, the Immaculate Imams, it's a chance not just to remember the martyrdom itself, but it's a chance to remember what they stood for, what their mission was, what their goals were in life, and hopefully, inshallah, so that we can move those goals and those and that mission forward in our own life. When you had invited, I did say that I wanted to talk about just these three aspects about Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have time. The first one is courage. And these are qualities and characteristics of Imam Ali alayhi salam that I think we can and we should apply in our daily lives, even in the present day. So the first one was courage. The second one is the zuhud, the asceticism of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the third one is justice.
Okay.
So because these are three qualities that are really very manifest, they're very out there, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like the first thing that comes to your mind are these three things when it comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam. As far as courage, and I don't know, the thing that is famous about Amir al-Mu'mineen about courage is this idea of Asadullah, the lion of Allah, or Saifullah, the sword of Allah, or Dhulfiqar, this sword that was sent down for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Of course, his great courage in the battles of Uhud and Badr and Khandaq and Hunayn and Khaybar. And I wanted to take a slightly different route on this. And so one of the things I think very important in the present day for every single one of the viewers out there, especially the youth, is the courage to follow the deen, mm-hmm. right? So we kind of think about the battles of Imam Ali and we think about these other aspects, but one aspect of courage is that, you're going to school, you're going to the uni, you're going to the college, you're going to the university, you're going to all these different places, you're going to work, and it takes a lot of courage for one to be steadfast upon their deen.
Yeah.
And it is a courage that's very seldom talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's to not shake hands with a non-mahram or
to pray your prayers on time.
To pray your prayers on time, or to
people out there are actually worried to, say that it's prayer time, I need to go and find a place. If you speak to the institutions, the head teacher, whoever you need to speak to, you can usually find a place where you can pray, the office manager, whatever. And that's what a lot of Muslims do out there, alhamdulillah, in the West. Where, in societies where salah is not the norm.
And even, for example, refraining from eating something that's haram, right? And pretty much on the whole, right? Doing the wajibat, doing the obligatory things, and refraining from the haram, refraining from the things that are prohibited, this does take amount of courage.
I guess so, yeah.
Because you have to be brave to, so for example, if your boss, for whatever reason, is anti-Muslim or is Islamophobic or something, you hesitate to want to pray, or when all of your friends are, for example, eating a pizza that has, sausage on top of it. Mm-hmm. And hey, why don't you have a slice?
Well, they're having a party and there's alcohol on the table.
Yeah, and that's the next level, right? There's alcohol at the table or people are doing drugs. It takes us a certain amount of courage for us to be able to stay steadfast. And one of the things that we learned from Imam Ali.
Yeah. Of course, courage is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. So, you know, you get past those parts of your life where it's difficult to say no to things. But Allah makes you stronger because of that. And when you look back at yourself, you're like, hey, you know, I can do that so easily if the opportunity came up now. But what is the attitude we should have? Well, what's the advice that you have to give?
Just that, right? So when we look at our elders, we look at our leaders, our religious scholars, we look at, again, the immaculate imams, we find this aspect of courage, you know? And to take them as a role model and to be able to find that courage within us. And I mean, of course, we have to have a connection with the Almighty God who has all of the power.
But practically speaking, like a lot of the viewers, when they're watching, they're going to say, well, you're two scholars. What do you know about it? You're living in the holy city of Qom.
Right.
You know, so what's the practical advice? If you could think of any on the spot.
No, I can't think of any on the spot, but I'll go for what you have in store.
Well, I'd say just do it, okay?
Yeah,
First of all, I'm from the UK, Sayyid Shahriyar is from
the United States of America. Yeah.
And we've been through those phases, you know. There have been times where, you know, you go to an interview, you don't have a job, you need to earn money. And so the interview is really, really important. But then the person at the other side of the table is a woman and she goes like this. And you're like, you know, but we've said, no, I'm sorry, it's against my religion to shake hands with the opposite gender. And it actually opens up a conversation which you can engage
in.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't, you know, and it's just an awkward pause and you get on with it. It's fine. Or, you know, times where you get invited to a party and you're just like, nah, I'm all right, mate, thanks. But you just
say
no.
I'll take a rain check.
You know, one of the biggest skills that we need to learn is how to say no.
Right.
This is something we were discussing previously as well.
Right.
Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do not feel ashamed, in fact, never feel ashamed to follow your religion.
MashaAllah.
Never feel ashamed to follow your religion. Do it and do it proudly. Do it brazenly. Do it boldly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that... Oh, another thing. One of the things that's holding us back from saying no is fear.
Right.
We're terrified. What's going to happen? I won't get this interview. I won't get this exam done. My teacher won't like me. This person won't like me. My friends will make fun out of me. This, that, that. Fear, 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 fear. What does Imam Ali alayhi salam say? He says, when you're afraid of something, dive into that thing.
Exactly.
All right? You talk to medical experts, they'll tell you that doing one thing a day that scares you is actually good for your heart.
Right.
It's
right.
Healthy for your heart.
Yeah, it keeps you alive.
Right? It keeps you alive. These little things, in your head, you're making them into something very, very big, like a mountain that I can't get over. But actually, they're very small. And when you train yourself to get over them, to face those fears, Allah will make you stronger.
Yes.
So anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a very good point. I don't know. The second thing I wanted to talk about was asceticism. It's interesting. Each one of these discussions, if you open them up, is a very beautiful discussion, very profound discussions. This aspect of zuhud and asceticism, right, or this detachment from the dunya, detachment from the materialistic aspect of it, right? Here, we live in a world which is highly materialistic and driven by consumerism. You know, we find that Imam Ali, right, is famous about him, that he lived this very simple life, keeping in mind that he wasn't poor, right? One of the things that has been infiltrated into the minds of the Muslims is that asceticism or zuhud means that you should be poor. Well, this is not what zuhud means, right? And if you look at the Imams, right, so for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he dug wells. He had orchards of date palms. At that time, 1,000 plus years ago, this is an individual who is considered a millionaire or a billionaire, right? You're making wells. Water in the desert is like oil in today's time, right? And then date trees, which in that area, you know, date trees is the fruit which is very common. And so they would do this, but then they would give it in the way of Allah. They decided to live a life which was simple but satisfying. And I think in today's modern era, which is so engulfed and drowned in these idols of materialism and consumerism, I think a return to this zuhud and this detachment from the dunya will really fill up this hole which is within many of the people across the world.
And I think people in the West especially, although it's in the East as well, this phenomenon of materialism, it's infiltrated our minds to such an extent that we actually believe that those things that we have are necessities.
Right.
Which they're not actually necessities.
Right.
I want to give a very quick example. Your mattress.
Right.
And it might sound really strange and bizarre to hear something like this, but you know, your mattress is something that you just take for granted. You think that this is, everybody has this and it's completely normal. Yes, it is. But then when we look at the seerah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, they would actually sleep on the hard ground.
Yes.
There's a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam where his wife actually changes the bedding. She makes it softer because she had rahm at the end of the day. She
thought, this is the Prophet, he's my husband,
I want him to sleep comfortably.
Yeah.
And he took it off and he said, no, I want it to be a hard surface. It's on that hard surface that I remember Allah. It's that hard surface that helped me to wake up to worship Allah in the night.
So,
mattress, we take it for granted.
Yeah.
Refrigerator, you know, all these things that we do take for granted. We have to go back again and ask ourselves, do we actually need these things?
Right. I think it's very valid, yeah. I mean, a lot of the times, and this is what it is, right? The modern era propaganda machinery or the... See, so consumerism works how? Is you have to want to buy something.
Mm.
And usually, if you don't need something, right, then you're not really going to buy it.
Mm.
But this is what the modern era, I don't know, marketing or promotional thing is done. It makes you feel like you need this thing.
Oh. That's a beautiful point, actually.
Right? And when in reality, it's just something extra. You don't need it. So in this case, I read a tradition where Prophet Isa, right? Peace and blessings upon him. He would sleep on a stone. His pillow, His pillow was a stone, right?
And again, going back to your point, it's not that they could not afford those luxuries. They could afford those things. They could afford a pillow. Who can't afford a pillow? Even if you're homeless, you can pretty much find something to make your bedding softer. The prophets and imams didn't do that, though.
Subhanallah,
You know, and there is a huge wisdom behind it that I feel like we often overlook.
And this is right. So, like, this is what we're faced with. You know, as you said earlier, you grew up in the UK, I grew up in the US. And we've seen this kind of consumeristic lifestyle where subconsciously you are constantly in this race of greed.
Mm.
Well, I want a new pair of shoes, I want a better house, I want a bigger house, I want a better car, I want a faster car, right? You know, I want more clothes, I want more clothes, I want more clothes. And really that's the way it is, right? How many shirts can you have, you know? Or how many shoes can you have? Or a different watch for a different... And what I felt was, at least when I was growing up, is that these things, they don't fill up this vacuum that's within you.
No,
you know, is this as the Holy Quran says that it surely is the remembrance of Allah, right, which brings peace and tranquility to the hearts.
Right?
And this zuhud, this asceticism of Imam Ali, I think taking it to that way, I don't know.
Examples from Imam Ali's life. Examples. So first, Imam Ali alayhi salam's slippers, which are so famous and we often think about them. But remember, he has these torn up slippers at the time where he is the head of the state. He is the leader. He is the khalif of the time, you know. And so he's stitching these slippers.
These slippers,
and he says to his companion, how much are these worth? And he says, it's not even worth like a fraction of a coin.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even worth a penny. And he says, this khilafah in my eyes, this power, this prestige is not worth more than this, you know? So that's the first example. The second example is his mahr for Sayyidah Fatima as-salam wa alayha. Right? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he only has like two pieces of clothes. He has maybe, you know, something else to keep him, you know, keep his livelihood. He has a shield, he has a sword. Maybe he has a means of transport, a donkey or a horse or a
mule.
Camel at that time, I don't know what it was, right? And one of these things he chooses to be the mahar, or rather he asks the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, which one of these should I use? And the Prophet gives him practical advice and says that this one you can actually spare. The third example is actually quite tear-jerking if we think about it.
Sure.
There came a point in Imam Ali alayhi salam's life, bearing in mind that when he was asking which one of these objects I should give for the mahar, which one of them I should sell, Imam, the Holy Prophet told Imam that, look, keep your sword because you need it to defend the religion of Islam.
Subhanallah.
Bear this in mind. There came a time upon Imam Ali alayhi salam where he goes into the market and he holds up his sword and he says, who will buy this sword? Because he did not have enough money.
Right.
There are many brothers and sisters out there, many uncles, many youths out there who may be suffering poverty. Poverty is not a... It doesn't show that you are a lesser human being.
Right.
I wanted to phrase that properly because in today's society,
yeah, of course,
it's taught us that your status is known through your wealth. You can't even afford this. You're looked at as though you're a lesser human being. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, "Fakri fakri, my poverty is my pride." Mm-hmm. Right?
And keeping in mind that the poverty was not because they didn't go to work.
They worked.
Or they worked day and night, right?
Exactly, yeah. They could afford things. They were working.
Like, but they gave it in the way of Allah.
Read the Quran and it shows you how hard they were working, right?
Yeah,
the Quran
says,
قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Rise in the night, except a little, right? And then it goes on to explain how, look, Allah is telling the Prophet and those who are with him that we know, Allah is saying, we know that, you know, you are spending the day tirelessly. You know, you are working really,
really
hard. Because of that hard work that you're doing throughout the day, that labor, that toil, that sweat, that blood, you don't have time to speak to me. So wake up in the night and speak to me, right? So anyway, coming back to the point, they were working really hard. The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. O human beings, you are striving a hard striving until you meet me.
Right.
Yeah, you will meet me eventually, right? So yeah, we're supposed to work hard, but at the same time, if poverty strikes, it strikes. Allah is testing us through that.
Sure,
and this is actually something that the prophets and imams went through. And so third point?
So, third point, I really want to do very excellent points on the poverty and the zuhud and the asceticism. The third point was this justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam, right? This concept which something that is not present in the modern day world, right? Everywhere you look is injustice. Everywhere you look is oppression, war, chaos, destruction. You know, the person in the human being in the postmodern era has not been able to reach this higher level of justice, right? Whether on a social level or on a individual level or on a governmental level, right? Like I said, everywhere you look is war, chaos, death, destruction, and despite the claims of the different governments of the world and despite the claims of the different ideologies of the world, we had called them idols. You had called them idols in one show. Despite the proclamations of these idols, we have not been able to reach a level of justice where human beings can have peace and tranquility.
I don't think there's anyone sane and truthful in the world who can deny that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that we learned from Imam Ali alayhi salam, right? So, in the very common saying that Imam Ali was martyred or he was killed because of his justice, because his justice was at such a high level that you know, people who didn't want that justice, right? They were making money or they were benefiting somehow from injustice, which is what we see in today's world. Those who benefit from injustice continue the injustice status quo.
I guess the question would be like, why would people not want justice?
Right.
And I think the answer would be that justice is difficult.
Right.
Justice, especially the level of justice that Imam Ali alayhi salam, that ideal human being, was bringing, it was almost too much for the people to aspire to.
Right.
The example that people are familiar with is the example of his brother Aqil.
Right.
He comes to him and he says, give me some money from the Baytul Mal.
This is his brother. who was also blind.
He was also blind.
Right? So he has this handicap.
Ahsan.
Yeah.
He comes and he says, give me some from the Islamic treasury. What would you call Baitul Mal?
Yeah, Islamic treasury, right?
The governmental treasury of the Islamic system. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, long story short, he holds his hand over a candle flame and he says that, look, and obviously Aqil, he gets really hurt and he says, why did you do that?
I'm asking you for money and you're trying to burn me.
Yeah. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, look, you could not bear this slight burning. How will you burn the fire? How will you bear the fire of hell?
Allahu Akbar.
Right? And then there's the other example, since we've mentioned candles, which is absolutely beautiful, an astonishing example. Where people come to visit Imam Ali alayhi salam and he douses one candle and he lights another candle.
It's Talha and Zubair come to visit, right?
Yeah. So they come and they ask him, why did you do that? And he says, because this candle is for...
This is the public governmental property.
And this candle...
This is for my private personal property.
It's for private.
And you're here for private personal matters.
Conversation. So, okay, now there's one thing to hear that and then go... Subhanallah. It's one thing to hear that, but look, hold on a moment.
This is,
if you saw somebody doing this in real life, you would, na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, you would be like, okay, this guy's an extremist.
Yeah.
This guy's actually crazy. He's taking things too far.
This guy's too serious.
This is the justice that
he's like, take it easy.
We have to ask ourselves, if this is the justice of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, how are we going to bear what Imam Mahdi is going to bring?
Right.
You know, when we are, you know, we're perfectly happy to usurp the rights of others. We're perfectly happy to take what doesn't belong to us. We're perfectly happy to live in a governmental system which has some semblance to some sort of social welfare. However, if I'm rich and others are poor, that's fine.
Okay.
It's okay. It's absolutely fine. The Islamic government isn't like that, right? And it's not communist at the same time. It's not saying, you know, everybody must come down to...
Yeah, it's not a social
there
socialism.
There are still rich people and poor people in the Islamic system. However, it's not to such an extent that there is blatant injustice taking place.
Right. We're kind of going in this one direction and I didn't know if I was going to be able to bring it in or not. But again, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Islamic Revolution, one of its fundamental pillars is this idea of justice,
yeah.
Right? And you find that Imam Khamenei, he's constantly talking about this idea that we are trying, they are trying as a nation, as an Islamic Republic, to move towards the justice of Imam Ali.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, he does says that, you know, we know that to reach that kind of level or peak of justice is really something that is very difficult, but he says at least we're trying to move in this direction of the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Imam Khamenei, his examples are from the Quran, from Nahjul Balagha. He's constantly, you know, the Islamic system today, to a lesser or greater extent, is being run as per the Quran and Nahjul Balagha.
Yes.
A lot of people out there, they read Nahjul Balagha, but only certain snippets of it.
Right.
But Nahjul Balagha is essentially a roadmap for the political system of Islam.
Subhanallah, right.
One of the things that Imam Khamenei says is that, look, Islam came to make humanity rise for qist.
Yes.
For
Qist,
al-adl. Justice, yeah. Adl, for yeah. this righteousness in society.
Yes.
And that's what we're working towards, inshallah. So any last words or thoughts?
No, Sheikh Muzaffar, I think, thank you for the opportunity to come and talk about this event of the martyrdom, the Shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. May Allah accept all of our efforts and our endeavors. I think very important points, you know, again, this idea of courage on a personal level and this idea of asceticism and, of course, finally, this idea of justice on a on a social level, on an individual level, on a governmental level. And just my condolences to all the believers and you as well on the martyrdom of Imam Ali.
Jazakallah, Sayyid. It's been a really well-structured discussion, alhamdulillah, which you can always expect when you're the guest, alhamdulillah.
Exactly.
Last thought or final thoughts from me is one more point about the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this is a really profound thought, actually. Imam Ali alayhi salam said that even if I were to be given everything, now you just imagine everything in the heavens and the earth, all the riches like mountains of gold, and all I had to do in order to achieve all of that, all I had to do in order to achieve all of that was to take a grain or some small piece of food from an ant, I wouldn't even do that level of injustice. From myself and from Sayyid Shahriyar, we bid you Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.